Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time to talk. Let's finish our little talk that we started about menopause. This was a surprisingly popular topic, and I feel like there's so much more to say. We did a little intro podcast on menopause. If you guys are interested or you didn't hear part one, go back to last week, Tuesday, and listen to the first part of this little podcast. And in the end of doing that podcast, I felt like it was incomplete. I needed to give you guys more tips and tools for what management options are out there. So today we're going to talk about managing menopause, because whether you're perimenopause or postmenopause, the whole process of managing your body changing into that phase is very difficult and challenging, and no one talks about it. No one talks about it. Not enough. Not your doctors, not your friends. It's not a conversation that's always circulating. So these imbalanced hormones and hot flashes and estrogen-depleted skin, these are some of the most significant and noticeable symptoms of menopause. And the majority of women don't know how to manage it. So let's talk about this chapter of transitioning and managing. I read a quote in the New York Times that said sex health expert Rachel Rubin said, "Menopause has the worst PR campaign in history. Most people believe that menopause is just minor symptoms like hot flashes, trouble sleeping, but in reality it's so much more than that. It's brain changes. It is the shift in the hormones in this transition period that can cause mood swings, depression, weight gain, memory loss, vaginal dryness, change in libido, change in your skin quality. It's so many things, and also just metabolic changes that can make you more prone to being pre-diabetic or having high blood sugars. And the hormones are constantly fluctuating during this change. Estrogen especially drops down, and because of this, women will notice rapid hair loss and thinning and a negative change in skin complexion and skin quality. This is, you know, the opposite of pregnancy, where you have so much estrogen that your hair becomes a thick, luscious mane and your boobs grow nicely and your skin is glowy and you have that pregnancy look, pregnancy glow. Perimenopause and menopause are the opposite. So hair fall, estrogen depleted skin. How exactly is the skin affected? With this dramatic drop in your estrogens, the skin produces less collagen, less elastin, and unwanted aging changes. So as much good skincare as you put into your skin, there are some physiologic breakdown changes that Mother Nature is going to inflict. And that includes serious thinning and loss in elasticity, with your skin thickness dropping by about 1.1% per year. So that's how we get thinning and crepey and kind of the grandma skin changes. Sorry, grandmas, but I gotta say that because everybody gets a visual. That's what happens to skin thinning. The dermis of the skin thins. A study in 2013 demonstrated that dermal collagen can drop as much as 30% in the first 5 years of postmenopause, and approximately 2% of your collagen is lost every year in this period. And during this time, your skin becomes noticeably drier, less oils are produced, more sensitive, like inflammatory redness occurs, more rosacea-prone issues, and more wrinkling. And acne can worsen. On top of it all, to add insult to injury, you're going to get your acne back from your teenage years, that perioral, very difficult to get rid of adult acne. So how can we manage these symptoms? We must definitely combat skin aging changes by using prescription retinoids or even just basic over-the-counter retinol to stimulate collagen production. But there are other solutions. I love a great collagen biostimulator. Sculptra or polyl-lactic acid, as it's known, calcium hydroxyapatite or Radiesse. These are examples of products that are collagen biostimulators that are injectables. So you can talk to your doctor about starting to use some of these in your anti-aging regimen. Maybe you go in once a year, maybe twice a year for Botox and fillers, hopefully more than that, 3 times a year for your Botox, at least once or twice a year for fillers and volume management. But this is a good time to start having the conversation about how to add collagen-producing stimulators to your regimen to improve large volume areas like the cheek, that preauricular area in front of the ear, kind of like where the male beard grows. That's the cheek skin that gets wrinkling. down into the lower face, the marionette downturn lines around the mouth, building volume in the temples. These are all things that collagen biostimulators can help with, pulling the face up, back, and laterally. Hormone therapy. According to North American Menopause Society, hormone therapy is FDA approved and effective for treatment of menopausal symptoms. And there's so many varieties of this, so don't get obsessed with the hormone pellets that you have to go seek the super expensive specialist, and then you get scarring in your butt where the pellets go, and then the pellets got a lot of follow-up and hormonal adjustments and blood work. You can also do a hormone replacement that's a pill, that's a cream, that's a gel. There's so many forms of it. There are two basic types of hormone therapy, estrogen-only therapy and estrogen with progesterone therapy. So estrogen only is when you've had a uterus, like uterus removed, like a hysterectomy. So women without a uterus do not need the progesterone. They get estrogen only therapies. Women who have breast cancer have all kinds of extensive discussions to do with their doctors before starting on any regimen, especially the estrogen only regimen, because that's a little more prone to breast cancer risk. But the overall risk for breast cancers in general for all women taking hormones is very, 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 very low. So it's not something that you need to freak out about. If you have a breast cancer history, you do need to talk about it and then make an informed decision. Like, the symptoms sometimes are severe enough where it's important to start some form of therapy. So we have estrogen only when you don't have a uterus, and estrogen plus progesterone therapy with a uterus. So progesterone is added because it protects against endometrial cancer. And we can do these products systemically by pills, by injection. They circulate the hormones through your bloodstream in all parts of the body. Oral tablets, patches, gels, emulsions, sprays, injections. So many forms of the delivery. But it all circulates all through the bloodstream when it gets absorbed this way. And then non-systemic, maybe good if you're in high-risk category, can affect only a specialized localized area like a cream, a ring, or a tablet that's applied somewhere down there. And it just works locally, and that might be enough too. So hormone therapy varies with risk by age. It's generally recommended if you've had very early menopause before age 45, and that's more and more prevalent. Women of all ages, after 5 years of being on hormones, can have a little increased risk of breast cancer. It does not mean you should not take hormones. I think that we have these technologies and we are living longer than ever, so women are going to be 80 to 90 to 100. So if in the time of your life when you're at a peak and you're feeling your strength and your power and your identity, 40s to 50s to 60s, this is where you really come into who you are. You're starting to feel like crap. And it's because of these changes. Maybe you give yourself a few years of estrogen therapy, a hormone therapy. It's very effective, and definitely the risks are something that you have to go over with your doctor, but don't suffer. I'm going to talk about other technologies too. So there's something called MEP technology for high-risk women. MEP, M-E-P, like Paul. Methyl estradiol propanoate. This is a non-hormonal estrogen receptor agonist, and it is not a hormone that carries the risks of hormone therapy replacement. So MEP technology is wonderful. It can interact by stimulating estrogen receptors on the surface of cells, sometimes like the fibroblast cells, that can cause the cells to stimulate formation of collagen elastin and increasing hydration of the dermis, improving dullness, fine lines, laxity. It's primarily skin improvements. But if taken early, during early menopause and early perimenopause, can prevent significant skin changes. If you're already in menopause, you may not see the results as dramatically, but it's not just the skin that improves with the MEP technology, it can be your other symptoms as well. So that's a good one to bring up in your discussion with your doctor. And we also have technology and tools and supplements to improve some of your symptoms. So, personal cooling devices like the Ember Wave, that's spelled E-M-B-R, that is meant to manage hot and cold flashes, night sweats, difficulty sleeping. This device uses advanced thermal technology, and it's put on like a watch band. It provides quick relief by cooling and warming right over your wrist, over your pulse point, So it sends a pulse of cold to your radial artery. When it senses that your core body temperature is increasing, it chills down the radial artery thermoreceptors, and that sends a signal to the hypothalamus to change the hormonal output so the sweats will stop and the hot flashes stop. So it drops your temperature on your wrist, and that message goes to the brain, dropping the body temperature that's now hot, giving a hot flash. So cool. That's the Ember Wave, EMBR. There is a lady care magnet. Why don't we hear more about these things? Nobody writes about these. Nobody talks about these. Never heard of it. But we researched for you, and we found out about the lady care magnet. This is a natural alternative to hormonal therapy, found, according to their site, to reduce menopausal symptoms by 71% in some cases. It works by rebalancing the autonomic nervous system, which is negatively affected during menopause. This is a device that's designed to be attached and worn at just below the navel, attached to your underwear. And definitely do your homework, vet and research, and figure out if these devices seem like they're good for you and if they're legitimate. So many claims out there. I don't want to mislead anybody and tell you to buy something that doesn't work. So I'm going to put the assignment of the homework on you. But just for your knowledge, these are out there. Not to mention getting one of these portable little fans that plugs into your iPhone. That's real easy and fun. Whenever you're having a hot flash, you got to whip that out. And supplements. There's a few supplements you should consider taking. Black cohosh may alleviate hot flashes. Flaxseed can sometimes help to ease your night sweats. Calcium is important because bones and joints are negatively affected during menopause, and in general, women just don't take enough calcium. 1,000 to 1,500 milligrams daily is important. Vitamin D, super important for immunity and bone health. You should be taking vitamin D3 supplements. Check your levels. Ginseng can improve your mood and improve sleep health. St. John's wort to control and manage mood swings. DHEA for low libido and hot flashes. And collagen, definitely taking a collagen peptide. Try my internal radiance collagen peptides. These are amazing. I put them in my coffee every single day. And when I run out, I really notice the difference. These are all things that you can do to help improve symptoms. So don't give up. Do talk about it amongst your friends, because everyone has a little solution that they've come up with. They just aren't talking about it. Do discuss it with your OB-GYN doctor, and if they're not open to the discussion or their very 1950s mentality, move on to someone who's got more education and knowledge. Do read the New York Times Magazine article that came out about a month ago, which the entire magazine was devoted to this article on menopause and how it's epidemic and it's not talked about. And it's definitely, you know, something that people were given a lot of fear. Fear factor was created around one article that was released in the 70s, which was not even fully true. So there's a lot of mythology surrounding the risk of hormones and the risk of breast cancer. While it is increased and it is real, it's definitely not as severe as we were led to believe. So people are gradually getting back on the bandwagon of looking at hormonal therapy and looking at other methods of stimulating estrogen replacement, collagen replacement, and helping women to feel better. Regardless of what route you take, I hope some of these solutions give you an idea and get you down the path of doing some research about perimenopause and the transitioning time. And be sure that you reach out. We can maybe even do a part three, because I feel like there's still more to say about management. And I have so many interesting other articles to bring up to you guys. So send me a DM. Shout out if you're interested. You can find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same. It's www.beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find our internal radiance collagen powder. It is amazing. And collagen biostimulators for the face, including my high-dose retinol regenerator. All of you over 30 need to get on a Retin-A product. This one is amazing. I love my Diamond Lime Refine Retin-A for beginners. So good. Vitamin C, because that's a collagen cofactor and stimulator, improves skin quality. You'll love it. And don't forget, if you're sensitive to all those things, you can do my Transform Stem Cell Growth Factor. There's so many ways to turn on youthful, regenerative technology for the skin. The body knows how to repair itself. We just have to give it a little trigger. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.